Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Got your shoulders moving today.
It did. And then, you know, in my little bop, I was like, oh, I love this remix, man. I love it. I do. Will I ever miss the old one? Probably not. I don't know. But I think we're going to rock with this like next 2 years.
I'm not mad at it.
Got to find another remix. Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
Just keep finding remixes.
Yeah. Morning, everyone.
Good morning. Or a morning.
A morning is also acceptable. The morning.
If anybody's dealing with the pressure changes, the up and down of this week has been not my favorite. Mm. Not my fave. But hopefully you have been less impacted.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm getting used to having allergies. Just like...
Do you have allergies?
I think some allergies have developed, man. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. Seasonal crap. Stuff I didn't have before. You know, getting all stuffy. Yeah, it's like, what's happening? Yeah. Times are changing.
Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, drop the full remix, fam. What you waiting on?
Okay. Michelle, you're making some points.
Yeah.
You're making some points.
Get to it.
And it's a good remix. Shout out to DJ Cliff for getting that to me.
I love when DJs share.
Heck yeah.
It really does warm my heart.
Heck yeah.
So many cutthroat stories of not just DJs, but anybody, you know, in the entertainment industry or honestly. I'm sure it goes far beyond that. But
I'll say a lot of DJs, but I feel you.
But
yes,
yeah, industry just is DJs little... who are like, this is mine, you can't know about it.
There's literally a setting.
Or listens to, you know, goes and listens to other DJs and then steals their sets and are like, yeah. Look how great I am.
There's literally a setting in Serato to hide the music that you're playing.
To hide from who?
So a DJ can't look over your shoulder.
Oh.
And see your tracks. It's called the DJ AM setting.
As in DJ AM?
As in DJ AM. So I don't know if he requested it.
Was he the one stealing or was he the one like getting stolen from?
Getting stolen from, I guess. I think he requested it or they named it like in honor of him because his death was around that time.
Yeah.
But basically, so traditionally vinyl DJs, if they had like a dope sample or a dope record or an import or something that they had that people locally didn't have, they'll peel the label off.
Oh.
Yeah, they'll just put, you just know I'm going to walk, no, they'll just peel the label off or scratch it out so you couldn't see what it was. So, yeah, so with, you know, once we went digital, people doing remixes and doing original edits or just digging, because there still is that aspect of it. There's tons of music out there digitally and we're still technically digging for it. You do all the work, you find it, you kill on a party. Like, I've seen DJs come right up, screenshot of your, take a picture of your screen with their phone and just walk off.
No.
Not even be like, hey, what are you playing? Just walk up.
Mine now.
Snap a photo and dip. Yeah.
It's real colonizer behavior.
Yeah.
That's mine now.
So
yikes.
It was a shortcut before, but now it's an actual button feature. Just hit it. And once you load a track to the deck, it's blank. When you're, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Them's the days.
I didn't know you needed stealth mode. You know? I really didn't know.
Yeah, man.
Back to the song. Michelle said, you can't miss the old mix simply because it had that unresolved anticipation of stopping before the, my love.
It's true.
Sorry for hitting y'all with a note right there.
Hey, man.
And then, is that Matt?
That is Matt.
Good morning, Matt. Matt said, that opening song always makes me feel like I'm three again, not paying any rent. And like, let's go back to that. Good morning.
You Matt, know what, Matt?
Take me there.
Dancing around the couch. Let's do it.
Man.
Let's do it. Oh, man.
I'm ready to go back to no adult responsibilities. No, that's not true. That's true.
Do you remember
no, that's not true.
Being small enough that, like, running across the living room and jumping on the couch was, like, the funnest thing you could do and not be told stop for a while?
I want to say yes.
You weren't running. You weren't. It was a boy thing?
Oh, no. I was running all over.
Yeah, to be clear. I had more fun things I could do, though, than just jumping.
I don't think I was a jump on the furniture kind of kid.
Okay. Yeah, it was great. Run across the room, jump, and then, like, jump sideways in the air so you just roll under the couch. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you practice.
I mean, it sounds great. And I'm not saying I didn't do it. I just don't currently have a memory like that's jumping forward. Gotcha. Like, yeah, remember the time when you would run across the...
That was my stuntman training.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, someone had to do it. Yeah. I wonder, did you ever get from your stuntman training a black eye and then go to work like Elon Musk did?
There was that one. No. No. Never got my eye blacked. Oh, Elon. I heard it was a black eye given by the person you would least expect to give anyone a black eye. The person you would think got plenty of black eyes growing up, one Stephen Miller.
Yeah, so they say.
I mean,
he said it was a son.
That's true. It's a strapping
he
young
said
lad.
That 4-year-old. And I'm going to be honest. Anybody who says to the sitting president, you're not the president, get the F out of here. Kind of, no matter what your age, I think that there's a face punch in there.
Yeah, he might have a little rage issue. He might.
It's a thought.
Yeah. So maybe he did wind it up like Popeye and wallop his dad in the eye.
He may have walloped.
Yeah.
I don't actually think that little fist could have done that much. But
I mean, imagine this, right?
He does look like a sort of paper-thin man. Elon, you know, like the skin just doesn't have a lot of elasticity to it.
Elon carries his son around as a human shield.
It is his 17th face. I'm sorry, go on.
He carries his son around like a human shield.
Indeed.
And then once harm is actually done to him, he blames his human shield.
That's what a human shield does. Right? You just use it.
Okay.
Use it for all things. Did someone steal something from here? Probably my son. Check his pocket for all the data.
Wow.
My son. I don't know. Did anybody see that? See
Russia.
Anybody see the CBS interview he did? I've only seen clips. I haven't seen the full thing. I also don't know how anybody sits down with him. Like, I've yet to figure out.
Same.
Is that like, yay me, I got the assignment, or like, short straw?
I think it's yay me. Still.
Yeah, can't imagine it.
Yeah.
Can't imagine it.
Yeah.
But he was there, and when asked about policy that was happening, Manz was like, yeah, I'm not really here to talk about like presidential policy or administration or anything. Like,
what was he going to talk about?
Want to keep it to the rocket ships.
Oh, jeez.
Don't you want to talk about space?
Alon, how often were you interviewed prior to you joining the administration about space? No one cares.
Don't you want to talk about space? Anybody got kids out there?
Right. No. No. No.
There was something that was notable. Besides him being like, I don't want to talk about the work I did. Oh, it was that he said he has no idea how everything got so misconstrued, you know? Mm. Doge was doing great work, or is, or was, or who knows? But then, you know, like, I started hearing things like, you know, Doge is going to take away your Social Security checks, and like, absolutely not. I don't know why anybody would think that.
Literally what y'all said y'all was going.
Never going to happen. And I just don't know what part of the world those folks live in. Like, I too have been in a blackout. Is it just that at all times? Is that what ketamine is?
Does it do that?
And that's a serious question, because I honestly do not know. I know that that is can be fun, and it can be a tranquilizer.
Right. I don't know what that. Listen,
I don't even know how we go about
determining.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna probably not find out.
You don't need to roll that dice.
I think I don't.
I agree with you. I don't think you do either. I would prefer that you didn't.
Oh, so are you saying you'll do it?
No.
Oh.
I'm saying neither of us need to.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess.
No, there's no guess. We're okay.
Oh.
Yeah. No research. Speaking no research me, purposes.
Okay. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Now I think I got to do it, guys.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Decisions being made for me. I don't know.
Ain't no man going to be telling me whether I'm going to ketamine or not. Whether I can or can't ketamine.
Matt, should I?
Matt, or, oh. No, okay. Please. Do not implicate Matt. Guess I don't. And I know Matt's going to make the right decision.
Legitimately just asking a friend. Are we not allowed to phone friends anymore?
Yeah. Okay. We are.
Okay, cool. So then
I'd say
we're back to
don't involve
everything Matt, being fine.
One of our fiancés in this foolhardy pursuit to justify your use of ketamine.
I really don't like the way you said that. That sounds like if my mom just tuned in. My dad's eyes have fallen out of his face, and my mom is like, she said what? Nick. What does he mean she's doing ketamine?
Nick. Morgan is on the radio trying to justify her use of ketamine. And I text like, you're right, Mom.
I don't need that business. Mom, I really...
tune in right now. It's unbelievable what your daughter is doing. But not
yes,
me.
Michelle. Michelle said, not the K-hole investigative reporting. We're just trying to do our journalistic duties over here. And Ambush is stopping our pursuits yet again.
Oh, is that what I'm doing? Yet again?
Yet again. Foiled again.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just trying to heal, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know which way we want to go. I guess we should say what we're going to talk about today.
I think we should. We've been active. It's been active this week. First off, shout out to Joy Elise.
Shout out to Joy Elise.
The clips from that episode. I said last Thursday. This Monday.
It feels like it was a week ago, yes. But also not.
The clips from Monday's episode. Going viral, gangbusters all over the place. As if it wasn't enough during the show that people were like, don't end it, bring her back, go longer. In one of the clips, Faith is like, yes, again, Joy, bring her back.
Now.
More Joy.
More now. Joy.
It's awesome. It's great. Great Very show. Cool. Great show.
It was a wonderful time.
Yes.
Too.
We had a chance to talk some local politics.
Yeah. All things Portland.
Uh-huh. We'll be continuing in that tradition this morning.
Yes, we will.
The tea has gotten hotter.
Piping.
I did not think it could get hotter than it already was on Monday.
I'm going to tell you this. Neither did a lot of other people.
But then Wednesday was like, hey, Wednesday, I got you right over here.
Wednesday didn't stop, friends. Fiancés, what were you doing yesterday?
Wednesday didn't stop. No.
Beginning to end. I was late to listening to the student council. Wow. Okay. City council meeting. And that is, we will get into that.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a spicy little bite, you know?
Yeah, that's the way to put it.
That was like, okay, definitely some people put their sassy pants on before they went to work this morning.
Sassy pants and socks.
But yes. Yeah. Yes.
Sassy pants, business socks. They were ready.
They were ready for some.
Yeah.
So we will talk about the Portland City Council. Hit the remand button. And then the news of interim executive director of Prosper Portland stepping down.
Bruh.
Prosper is in shambles over there.
Bruh.
Is what it looks like from here. What do I know?
Yeah.
Nothing but what I can read in your group chat.
Listen, Michelle said, look, Both your interviews have been must-see TV.
Ooh.
I love it. And it's true. We got
first
two
of all,
two.
Thank you. And second of all, please never say that. Must-see that TV? Now too much pressure and the next one's going to flop or I'm going to like start crying in it or something.
Well, if you cry in it, it won't flop.
Oh, boy.
So let's just put that on the docket.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Torture Morgan?
Oh, well, you say it like that. Well,
don't like to cry. Do it too often to not like it. But.
So that's what we're covering this morning.
Oh, wait, we didn't finish.
Oh, we didn't? What else?
No, so this is what happens when you don't listen.
All right.
Those are our local stories. Prosper Portland.
Yes.
Portland City Council.
Correct.
And the Portland Children's Levy. And then in national news, of all things.
Oh, my gosh.
Job Corps got canceled.
Come on, man. Come on. How you shutting down Job Corps?
Well, there's nothing like making more people homeless.
Right.
That is a really fun thing to do for different administrations. You know, it kind of across party lines.
Right.
We're totally fine making the youth not have a place to live or a skill that they're learning. Or
yeah, it's like, you know, can we get our homeless numbers up?
How could we maybe do that, but still pretend like we're paying people?
Oh, yeah. Defund Job Corps. All right, cool, great. Cool. And one of the videos we were watching, it said Job Corps operated in $140 million deficit last fiscal year. And I sat there on the couch and I said to myself, that's it? For a national program, you ran a deficit of $140 million? That is peanuts for a national program. Now, an ambush of 7 years ago would have been like, $140 million is a lot of money. It's not.
I mean, depending on the program.
Sure.
$140 million is a lot of money.
For as many agencies as there are for that particular program. Like, I could imagine, and I don't want to get too much into the story, but like an annual budget for a program that does less than that,
yeah,
far less than that, would be like $1 million, right? For so many programs we actually know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this thing is federally funded where there's like two or three of them in each state.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
I mean, I hear you. Mm-hmm. That peanuts in comparison, and certainly in, you know, like the just money we throw at, say, the military or something. Money we've thrown out the window to other things.
Yeah. Tap NASA, tap Elon.
There's certain stuff that's not supposed to make money. The government is not a business. They have sold us, time and time again on, you got to get a businessman in there.
Do the business.
To do business where business doesn't belong, because that's where it gets real good. Is when you do business where it doesn't belong, that's when it gets great. And then you make America great again.
Again. Well.
One more time. Before we get into that, there is a thing that I think we should just chat about.
All right.
The Portland Police Bureau is trying to enact a new policy.
Great. Can I say no now?
You can say no at any time and it's not going to matter.
Gotcha.
No, that's not true.
Typical police action.
I take that back.
All right.
If enough people say no, there might be something. Mm. Yeah, so I'll just say this. They're proposing new rules that could make it harder for defense attorneys to access records about officer misconduct. And if you're curious, this in particular traces back to a protest case that didn't go their way. And I just have to say, I say it often. I'm going to keep saying it. 2020 broke so many people's brains. The combination of COVID and the uprisings and national protests for against police brutality. It broke a lot of brains.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are a little warped at this point on what police do and what their presence means and what law and order is, mm-hmm. and not the TV show, but they're probably confused about that too. I have been saying these people are going to get it back in blood. Any of the things, yep. any of the concessions, any of the moments that you thought, okay, progress is about to happen, they're going to take it back in blood. And boy, yay, yay. We're just continuously seeing that. For this, in May of last year, 2024, police arrested dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters at Portland State University after they occupied the library. One protester faced serious charges: interfering with police, unlawful use of a weapon, and assaulting an officer. When the defense asked to see the arresting officer's disciplinary history, the Portland police wouldn't hand it over. And the DA's office said, we already gave you what we got, so I don't really know what else to tell you. The judge was not having it, so she ruled that the state had a legal obligation to get those records, not just wait for the cops to decide what to share.
Right.
Right? And the case got thrown out entirely.
Ooh.
Now the police bureau wants to change the rules, making it so misconduct allegations only have to be shared if the bureau decides that they are credible.
What?
That the allegations are credible.
No. 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 And if this passes, someone get in the position to reverse it. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
This is, I want to be very clear, this is a thing they already do. Right? Like, they right. did it. The reason this is even coming up is they did it.
It's already in practice.
It's already in practice. It is illegal, though. It's absolutely illegal. And when you think of these things systemically, this isn't one, you know, supervising officer who didn't give one officer who has a bunch of misconduct on their record, giving their record over.
Right.
They are deciding who gets information about what. They are not allowed to do that. That is not actually their job. And when we ask for more of this, when we're like, more police, because the police keep us safe, the police want nothing to do with your dirty body unless they get to put you in prison.
Yeah, your safety is of none of their concern.
Your safety means nothing to them.
Police keep themselves safe.
Are you a property?
Do you have an address on your shoulder?
Are you an address?
Do you receive mail?
Are you valued at $1 million or more?
Right. Do you come with a parking space?
Yeah, maybe then. Anyway, attorneys and civil rights advocates say that this opens the door for police to bury damaging info and for prosecutors to claim they didn't know about it. There's already an existing thing. Like, understand that a Brady violation means that the DAs have not yep. given exculpatory evidence to the defense.
Yep.
If you don't give all of the evidence that you have to the defense, they cannot mount a proper defense. And you are the one saying, I know you did it, I can prove it. That burden is on you. This, to me, would shift that burden.
Yeah, completely. That's nasty.
We know that the police are not good at policing themselves. We have nothing but time, all of the time, that they have been bureaus and departments and, you know, like,
leave them in charge of them and you're gonna get mayhem, period.
And it just keeps happening. If you let them police themselves, and we know that there's a lot of different levels of corruption, if your boss is doing bigger corruption than you, your boss probably doesn't care about the little couple of bucks you taken from, you know, asset forfeiture or whatever.
The till.
Right. But it certainly undermines a fair trial. It gives prosecutors an out to say, oh, well, I didn't know we didn't get all the evidence. I had no idea this officer was a bad apple.
But it's just that officer. And is he really bad? Or was this, you know, a moment of a bad decision?
Would a defendant get to police themselves? You know, like, would
they get to decide what
decide what's credible and what you get to use? Like, and as if this doesn't, we don't already have a I don't know what the right word is. Epidemic might not be the right word, but already have a humongous issue of wrongful convictions.
Yeah.
Like, actual innocent people in prison because of police corruption and coercion.
Yep. A manner of misconduct.
And if your officer is known to be of that corrupt ilk or has a bunch of allegations, is that the person who's supposed to be the trusted officer coming to court to do the testifying to, you know what I'm saying?
The thing for me with these officers with these records, right? It's not like any other job where, okay, Morgan, you were supposed to put these things into the walk-in freezer before the end of your shift. Yeah. And we've talked about this several times.
I keep forgetting.
And now I gotta write you up for it.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. And then, you know, hey, maybe it happens a second time, and I gotta write you up again. And now this is... You know, this is all on your employee file. The things that the cops are getting in their employee file, these aren't oopsies.
They're rape allegations.
Yeah. By the time it makes it to their file, there is a history of theft, sexual misconduct.
Violence.
It's not like...
You're ripping people out of cars.
Yeah, it's not like you got caught stealing a pack of printer paper.
Right.
And it's like HR wants to have... That's not what's happening here.
Yeah.
And it sure as heck ain't drinking on the job, because what cops get written up for that?
I think mostly not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They be doing the heinous. And now it's like, well.
And sometimes the especially heinous.
Yeah. And now it's like, well, hey, you know, maybe you'll need to know that about our guys. Maybe that's not relevant.
Yeah, you don't get to decide. You don't get to decide what's relevant to a case. Y'all can barely figure out the laws that you're trying to execute.
Bruh.
It's hard to figure it out in real time while you're remixing it. And I get it. Like, when you're like, actually, I want this law to fit this right now. So I am going to detain you. I am going to arrest you for something that's not arrestable.
Right.
Like, no, you don't get to be the one who decides what is and isn't credible, what is and isn't relevant.
Not you guys.
Not y'all.
Not you. No.
Y'all, so there's public comment is open. Like, you can add public comment until June 18th. And
wait, June 18th.
It's a great day. It's a great day.
It's Morgan's birthday. June 18th. Mark it on your calendars.
Mark it on your calendar.
All right.
Yeah, this is bad.
It's terrible.
That's.
It's one of those things that'll slip through the cracks if you're not paying attention, y'all.
Definitely that.
You're listening to X-Way FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
Yeah, this is a...
That's troublesome.
This is troublesome.
Yeah.
Especially as the national ramp up of authoritarianism just keeps it popping.
It's times
new travel day.
It's times like these when knowing who is and isn't on your side is very important.
True.
You want to make sure you're aligned with comrades that have your back. And
yeah,
I want to introduce a new segment. Comrades in Action.
Okay.
Yeah.
Comrades in Action.
Comrades in Action.
I love it already.
You know, If you, listeners, fiancés, you have a comrade you want to nominate, let us know. You know, shoot us a text, or you can call our hotline, which is also listed in our Instagram profile. I wish I could remember the number offhand, but I do not. But if you had a comrade that you want to nominate, let us know. Comrades in Action. So for the first segment.
I was going to say, do you have a comrade?
I do. Okay. I do. So, it's an unlikely hero. We cut on TV last night. Getting ready to, you know, tuck it in and find something to just throw on the TV to go to sleep.
I just remembered who your comrade is.
And I look on the screen and I see The Accountant 2 is now available on Prime.
Which we didn't get to a theater to see.
We didn't get to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
But I feel like somewhere it's still in the theaters because
it came out yesterday.
It just came out.
Yeah, it came out yesterday.
But The Accountant 2.
When did it come out?
Right there, available for us for free.
No.
And I said, babe, look at the work. Look at the meaningful work Jeff Bezos is doing for us right now.
Oh, my word.
So for my first, you know, first episode of Comrades in Action, I want to nominate Jeff Bezos for giving us The Accountant 2 available in my home. Not for purchase, not for rent, for my viewing pleasures, for my own eyes.
Help!
I even started it just to make sure it was real. A couple of commercials, and then. My feature presentation was waiting. And that's what I'm talking about, guys. You know? People try to tell you, don't be distracted. Sometimes you need to unplug. And if you have a comrade that can provide for you in those tender moments, that's a comrade in action. All right. Looks like we got some texts.
Yeah. We did. I think that's AJ.
It is AJ.
AJ said, comrade in action sounds amazing. I nominate me. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait a minute. It took me out. He's like,
yo,
wait a minute.
Oh, my gosh. She said, this is a dunce thing. I take back my self nomination. Well, my head is going to pop off today. AJ. Never a dunce thing. I am the weakest. Okay. I have a follow up. One must say to your comrade in action.
Okay.
Look, Brooke is gonna literally be like, I don't listen to y'all no more. So Ambush was super hyped to see The Accountant 2 for free, and I am putting that in big air quotes. Because you're not gonna get me. I don't have Xfinity cable. I am not buying a movie on demand. Like, you're not going to get me.
Right.
This is a streaming service that gets paid for every month. Nothing happening there is free. It's already paid.
Guys, the way she flipped on me last night, she was like, it's not free. We already paid for this. And I was like, well.
But they're not asking for extra.
Right, they're not paying more. Huh?
That is not a comrade in action. I'm not doing it. But I do want this segment. I do want to see where the creativity goes, you know? How is he going to tell us that Bruce Wayne really is doing the work for the people?
I don't think I have to. I think the work
speaks.
The work speaks for itself.
It doesn't. The work speaks volumes that he creates crime.
The work
hoarding the resources, creating all of the scenarios for the crime, spending all of the money he's hoarded on gadgets and mobiles.
I know what's missing here.
No.
You guys need an audit, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to audit Wayne Enterprises and come back with the results. Because there's a lot of misinformation, and in some cases, disinformation about, you know, what's happening. What we're funding, what we aren't funding, you know. There's a lot of... So, I'll order an audit, and I'll come back to you with some results.
It sounds like you're policing yourself. I don't like it. You ordering the audit of you, billionaire on billionaire audit?
Yeah.
Sounds like Doge. No, thank you.
Wow. See, you try to give the people what they want and they turn it down. Maybe they don't. Wow. I mean, try to comply, you know? Try. Try as you may.
I would love a music break.
I bet you would. All right, Beyonce, we're going to take a quick music break. And come on back with some national news. And we are back. Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Right here on X-Ray FM. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. We did get a text during the break. It said, Chin Chin, what a way to get me hyped for morning meetings. I love Chin Chin. I think this was, well, let me not speak. This is the only album that I know of that I've heard. There was some remixes and some stuff after this, but yeah, Chin Chin got bangers. Shout out to my homie, DJ Femstar. He introduced me to Uncle Femi, introduced me to Chin Chin. Man. Going back to the early days, Michelle. Going back to the early playlists.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff we added. Man, it says we added this to the playlist in 2022.
Wow.
Yeah, there's stuff here that we added in 2021 too. So. We've been at it. Been at it.
Truth.
Yeah. So, I'm going to jump right into it. I don't know if you guys have heard this, heard anything about this, but Job Corps, the Trump administration said they're putting a pause on Job Corps. For anyone that doesn't know what Job Corps is, this is basically a program where youth from the ages of 16 to 24 can go to learn trades, assist them with job placement. It's also housing for many of those kids, so for a great majority of those kids.
Yes.
This is a program where they go and they live there. They are supervised, and they are getting training. Some situations, they are sent to Job Corps. Other situations, children choose Job Corps as another alternative to traditional school and home life. Some of these youth are at risk. You know, whether it's financial situations or physical harm at home. They just want to go and focus and, you know, start a life for themselves. So Job Corps has been around for like 50 years. Very, very, very important program. A program that now the Trump administration has decided we're going to put on pause because we're not getting the return on our investment. Taxpayers aren't getting the return on their investment.
Why are we the way we are? Oh, capitalism. Are you going to jump into this? Or
yeah, absolutely disgusting work. Did you want to jump into it?
No. I was just asking because I didn't want to.
So this is happening. Job Corps centers are being shut down everywhere, every single state. They were told initially they had till June 30th. But then they were recently told on the 2nd, hey, let's get it done immediately. Let's just wrap it up. So the tongue
point is so wild. I'm sorry. That, hey guys, never mind.
Never mind. Just
do it now.
Shut it down. Close it up. The Tongue Point Job Corps Center will shutter its doors by the end of June, forcing all 350 students to return home following a Department of Labor order, aligning with President Trump's 2026 budget. The decision is part of a nationwide shutdown of 99 contractor-operated Job Corps centers, citing financial shortfalls and concerns over program outcomes. Job Corps, a longstanding federal program, provides young adults with tuition-free training and skilled trade certifications, military preparation, and educational support. Despite many students being on the verge of certification, Tung Point is preparing to evict at least 100 students by June 5th, with the remainder to leave by the month's end. The Department of Labor blamed the $140 million deficit in 2024 and a projected $213 million shortfall in 2025 for the closures, citing government convenience as a reason in its contract termination.
Government convenience?
Government convenience, fam.
Oh.
The closure has drawn criticism from local advocates and community members. Terry Stingberger, who leads The Harbor, a nonprofit supporting survivors of domestic violence, called the decision traumatic and disruptive. Just to, like, pick up and leave is so hard on anybody. It causes enormous amount of trauma, Steenbergen said. She has since launched efforts to collect duffel bags, hygiene items, and snacks for the displaced students. Tung Point Director Mac McGoldrick expressed frustration and determination, noting the contradiction between the administration's stated support for workforce development and the elimination of one of the country's key trade training programs. This administration speaks a great deal about developing the American workforce, and that's what Job Corps does, McGoldrick said. I'm not going to give up until I have to. The Department of Labor said it will work with state and local partners to transition students to other services. In announcing the closure, Secretary of Labor Lori Chavez de Remer cited not only budget concerns, but a wave of serious incidents reported within Job Corps programs. A recent transparency report detailed 12,900 incidents in 2023, including violent behavior and sexual misconduct, contributing to the decision to restructure the program. I'll leave that for 1 second. Still, the abrupt closure has sparked concern that the federal government is abandoning a generation of students seeking pathways to stable employment. While federal officials say the program is being reevaluated, local leaders worry the damage may already be done. Job Corps was created to build a pathway to a better life, Chavez de Rivera said, but the program is no longer achieving the outcomes students deserve. So we were able to catch a session that, what's her position? Lori de Rivera, Labor Secretary. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
Do you need some water?
I might. Oh, man.
Look how helpful I am.
In a pinch, right after.
There we go. De Rivera, I think de Rivera. Is how you pronounce okay. that. I'm not sure, and Redeemer, I don't actually care.
Nor do I. They were going over the numbers from this transparency report. She's been quoting in several sessions that the cost per student is anywhere between $50,000 and $80,000 per student. And someone who went over
seems like a nice actual amount of money to be able to support a person through.
It does. Even at that inflated school number.
Education. Yeah.
I mean, the inflated number, it's better than, you know, what it costs to house someone and incarcerate them, you know?
Literally.
Yeah. So.
The return on investment here seems. Okay. I'm gonna be quiet.
There were a couple of things that this legislator, can't remember the gentleman's name, had highlighted. So she was saying that the cost. Between $50,000 and $80,000 per student, and the graduation rate was like 38%. And he noted that these numbers were based on pandemic numbers, when enrollment obviously would be super low. Since that time, enrollment has more than doubled, which would drastically change the amount of money spent per student.
We're just so unserious. What do you mean they're citing the numbers from 2020 for decisions being made in 2025?
Right.
For a program that has different numbers than they're going on.
You want to hear another good one?
No.
So one of the other things, of course, we're talking outcomes, right? And, you know, you complete the program.
Well, are we always?
Yeah. You complete the program. And then you go on to a career where you're supposed to be making some money.
Yeah.
And they counted people that completed the program and went into the military as people that did not move into a career that produced money. There was no financial return on their investment.
Wait, if they went to the military?
Yeah. Because for them, in some way, it's more of a continuing program. They're still in a program, a federal program. You're going from one federal program into another federal program instead of going from a federal program into the private sector. So it's like, this person didn't really, the money we spent, we're not getting it back.
You're literally getting it back and likely in blood.
You're getting what the whole person.
What do you mean? What do they want back instead? Instead of people to go to the military, right. Which not loving that portion of Job Corps, and you know, for
sure,
me,
sure,
I think
ROTC, none of it.
They, like yeah, I think they should certainly do whatever they can to never be a part of that,
right?
But what's the investment that they're looking? What's the return? What are they saying? This is what I need,
right?
Because if it isn't more bodies doing the things you want, what do you?
Yeah. So this report is full of juke stats. This is a situation that, you know, the devil's in the details. And we watch this play out completely differently. Well, similarly, in a completely different situation with the AI amendments that got added to the Big Beautiful Bill.
I don't ever want to hear you say that again.
I'm sorry. The Big Beautiful Bill. And you got the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene saying the sense, making the sense, while looking like a buffoon at the same time. I didn't know that what I signed for or what I voted for had this in it. And we got to keep an eye on AI. We got to keep an eye on it. We can't let this pass.
Someone's got to do it.
You know, because I didn't do a good job keeping an eye on it. But let's make sure.
Well, to be fair, I mean, she didn't know she needed to.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Weren't all the way aware that there should be some looking into being done. I like the title. It's called Big Beautiful Bill.
Listen, if anyone from this administration hands me a piece of paper, I'm looking into it. It could be a sheet of paper with one sentence. Yeah. I am turning it into an anagram. I'm reversing the words in the sentence. I am submitting the sentence for handwritten analysis.
There's also five for sure hidden meanings here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think likely.
Nevertheless, a bill. I think a bill needs some type of, you know, analysis.
It might need analysis. Sheesh. You might have us there.
Oh my gosh. So I mean, the impact isn't just on these students. We're talking about these instructors. We're talking about any contractors that work facilities there. Like the amount, the job loss is going to be wild. Then we're talking about these kids that are going to be, that don't have, may not have home situations. Mm-hmm. There was one young lady, she was in a pre-nurse program, and then she had 6 months left to go off to her nursing program. And she was going to be staying there too. Bam, completely halted. Now what? Possibly work in a Waffle House. And she doesn't have the training to admit the first aid and medical assistance.
You need to when you work at Waffle House?
Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on where you're at.
Depending on where you're at.
Depending on the shift, you know? You might be fighting.
Man, you need a Waffle House up there. Ooh. I mean, we have a hotcake house, but we need a Waffle House.
You know what we don't need?
What?
More of Dan Ryan.
Oh! AJ, she got right into it. Age. Right into it.
You know, I got some big problems with a few things. And one of them is, and I meant all of them are Dan Ryan.
Okay. Real quick. I want to get this one last thing in.
Okay.
I do believe this pause is about privatization. This job.
Oh, I'm pause. Sorry. Yeah. Job Corps.
I do believe that Job Corps pause, air quotes, is about privatization. That's it.
I think you're likely right.
Yeah. BlackRock, Halliburton, someone's training someone to come in, revamp this whole thing, and get mega bucks. Oh, $80,000 per student? It's now $200,000 per student.
You've also, well, but, and then who's paying that?
The state. The federal government's still paying it. They're just paying it to the people they want to pay it to. Paying it to the homies.
I mean, so us. I'd like a music break, actually. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't.
I think we can hop into the, what did AJ say? Oh, bunch of laughing faces since you jump right into it.
Well, because Well, now I'm a little stymied, so I'm trying to get myself back together. Apologies.
My bad, babe. Send me the stymie.
Well, so I was watching the Portland City Council meeting yesterday. Mm-hmm. Shout out to, our city for throwing that on their YouTube channel so that we can all be a part of it.
I subscribed.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was late, as I usually am to a live. So I had to rewind a bit so that I could catch it all because I wanted to catch all of the Portland Children's Levy discussion. And man, let me tell you this. I am worried about our city council for many reasons, but one thing that does excite me about what we have right now, like, one thing that excites me is that folks are not, there are some folks who are not here to do the same thing over and over and over. They really did that really long, expensive job interview to actually change something, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to agree with what they want to change, but I am happy to see people getting creative. I am happy to see people saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't think that we understand all of the implications of this thing.
Right.
I don't know enough to vote on this. I feel like we should know more. That is exciting to me.
Yeah.
And it should be exciting to anybody who is civically engaged and wants the people making decisions to be making informed decisions, right? But man, is it wild to see some of the old guard not just be that as their job, I guess.
Yeah.
But just how awful the talking points are, how ill-informed, how pompous, how arrogant a person can be in not knowing enough.
Hmm.
Or, you know, I am recognizing that I give a lot of people too much credit. And I don't think that your first, instinct is to harm. And that's wrong for a lot of people that I have given that benefit of the doubt to.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of these people that I think if you view them as participants of a giving circle, then you'd have a better, idea of what they're capable of.
Right. Like, it breaks my brain.
Yeah.
I struggle with it. Let me give you just a little quick background and then. So, yesterday. City Council voted to remand nearly $71 million in Portland Children's Levy funding back to the Allocation Committee for further review. I think it's not even just back to the Allocation Committee. It is what I took from the discussion is that they are trying to now figure out this is a process issue,
mm-hmm.
and we have to figure out not just what part of the process is flawed, but we can't just keep doing the process.
Yeah.
So this does impact any of the people that were already planning to get funding and a delay in funding can be incredibly hard for any organization.
Yeah.
The grants were set to begin July 1st and fund services for the next 3 years and would have gone to 95 organizations offering programs in early childhood education. Is it 95, right? After school support, child abuse prevention, youth mentoring, foster care, and food access. A motion was introduced to remand the funding recommendations, and the motion passed 7-5. The decision sends the recommendations back to the committee that originally evaluated those applications and made funding decisions. So it delays the final approval of grants and may impact that timeline of distributing those funds. And they basically are figuring out, this is now the, let's figure out how we actually do this a way that is equitable, that is working. I learned a lot in listening to that yesterday. And one of the things I learned is I think words mean certain things and then people use those words in a way that doesn't make sense to me. And I'm mad confused because Dan Ryan multiple times said something to the effect of, this is the giving we do.
Oh boy.
This is the giving we do?
We who?
This is tax dollars going to organizations that serve communities. What do you, the city isn't a philanthropic entity, right? Like, I need someone to help me am I misinterpreting this? Should I not be annoyed? Should I not be worried that a sitting city councilor is treating our tax dollars as philanthropic, like, ventures?
Yeah. No, you should be. AJ gave an update. She said they're extending last year's grant awardees, so funds will still go out this year.
Okay.
New grants are on hold.
Okay. So I couldn't tell where they had landed on that, because I do appreciate so many of the counselors were like, hey, I'm concerned about this process. I am concerned about the concerns that have been brought to me. I also am worried about, you know, awardees not getting funding and having major issues. So I wasn't sure where they fully landed on that. There were a lot of things being thrown as suggestions, like, well, maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that. I wasn't 100% sure where that landed. So thank you very much. What I was sure about is I have a problem with looking at our city dollars that are to do things in our communities as if you're the Myers Foundation.
Right. Right.
Same and there. It truly bothers me that Dan Ryan is targeting. And I'm not saying this because AJ texts the show. I'm not saying this because we are friends. I am not saying this because we align. I am not saying this because we are comrades in real life. I am saying this as a citizen who is absolutely disturbed by the precise targeting this man continues to do of an organization led by Black femmes and women who are changing the lives of people in our community and making us better and healthier. And you are absolutely targeting this organization. And Dan Ryan may feel targeted. Dan Ryan should be targeted. You are a public figure making decisions and making statements with your whole chest. We get to push back.
Yeah.
We literally, your job is to get pushback from the people. It is not to give it. Your job is not to sit there and call out organizations or people from organizations that you clearly don't like their moves.
Could it have anything to do with AJ running against him?
I wonder. I wonder if maybe there's a chip on a shoulder somewhere. Yeah. You won.
Yeah. You won.
Why don't you revel in it instead of doing this?
Yeah.
You pulled the wool over a lot of people, enough people's eyes. Be happy. The idea that you're going to strut around and literally target this group, this organization? What does it mean that you are on the, you're the chair of the allocation committee? What does that mean? This doesn't look weird to you?
Right.
That doesn't look like a conflict of interest in some way, shape, form, or fashion? It looks dirty from here. It looks nasty from here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks real nasty, you sitting up there saying certain things.
For one of the people that reviewed the applications, for one of their notes to say that EGC thought they had it in the bag or thought this was a shoe-in.
Y'all thought you were a shoe-in.
That's wild.
Fam.
That's, what are we doing? Are we, like...
We're being clear.
Yeah, super clear. Super clear.
We're being clear.
Yeah.
If you think that there's no issue with that process, like, I don't know what to tell you. And there were five people up there talking about, I don't know what the, doesn't sound to me. I can't really tell what the problem is. So I'm going to say yes.
I bet you can't.
Or vote no.
Yeah.
He also said something to the effect of, I'm the only one up here who fundraised for the Portland Children's Levy. And I want more information on that, which.
Yeah.
Which
organizations, which groups, which philanthropic organizations, which people did you lobby? Which people did you fundraise?
Like, I can't wait to see which journalists that also piqued their interest and they can, you know, get to work on that. Because what? Yeah.
Where'd
those checks
go? He said
the only way to sway them to write checks for the levy. And maybe I'm just not, maybe I'm being too literal. That happens to me a lot. Where I'm like, this is a levy, which means it is our taxes, which means no one's writing you a check. This isn't the same as, here's my fundraiser for...
Yeah, is there a donation portal for the levy? Is this what he's talking about? Is there a way to pull additional dollars into the levy?
Like, I mean, is that what we're saying?
And if so, I'm curious as to what the percentage of that, what percentage those dollars are to the total levy that he wants to, you know, he wants credit for.
Fam, I'm the only one up here who fundraised for that. And the only way to sway people to write checks for the levy was to, I don't even remember what he said, tell them there'd be transparency. Oh,
right. No, that's nasty. It's definitely nasty work.
It's dastardly, right? Like, and it also, it gives me major pause. I am going to continue to have an issue with people who are with presented new information, maybe better information than they previously had, have the inability to change their mind. Maybe you thought a thing. Maybe you believed that thing. Maybe, you know, your top aide told you this stuff, and so that's just what you thought. When presented with alternative information, and I don't mean like an alternative fact or a, well, you know what I'm saying? But I mean presented with information that is contrary to what you are believe. The inability to take that information in objectively and then do something with it is always going to be a problem for someone who's supposed to be a leader or decision maker. I am not asking you to be wishy-washy or flip-floppy or any of those things. I'm asking you to use your brain in the way it is intended. you used to think this, new information came. You may still, you know, think the same thing, but you got to give it, you got to think it through. It can't just be like, well, I'm not hearing anything new here. I'm not hearing anything new. I don't know what the difference is. I know I didn't hear anybody talk about actual scores for places or where, you know, organizations ranked, except for Equitable Giving Circle and Self Enhancement Inc. Those are the only two that I heard where they're talking about their actual placement in the scoring list. That's gross. I don't know how he gets to be up there doing very egregiously disrespectful, racist, classist things.
Yeah.
Doesn't get called on it. And then we're just supposed to what? He's going to still be a part of this process in that way? He's hostile.
Yeah.
There's a problem with that. And he's certainly hostile when someone disagrees with him. I am worried for his colleagues.
Yeah. He doesn't want to do this job. He wants to do the old job. He wants to do the job that he used to do. And we are in a new form of government. He doesn't want to do this new thing.
Which is what I'm still confused on why he ran.
Right.
I'm still very confused on that.
Still addicted to the power, I guess.
Addicted to the power, and I'm never going to get over how quickly a white man with glasses pulls the wool over Portland's eyes.
He's not Arthur, you guys.
Whatever the brand is. Like, first openly gay or first timber baron. That, you know, like, it doesn't really matter.
Mm.
First sexual predator? So it doesn't matter.
Right.
Still going for it. Still falling for it. Hasn't ever said anything or done anything great. And is antagonistic to the community he swears to serve. Be for real for once.
Yeah, switch districts, bro.
You hate it here. You do not like District 2. Be for real. I will say, though, shout out to the rest of the council. And here's the situation, because this is tricky. It isn't like it's just an immediate, like, we're all, everybody's, you know, jumping up and down. We have voted for something multiple times, right? We vote for levies and bonds to take care of the things happening within our communities. And if you are not seeing the benefit of that, if you are not seeing any, you know, material changes, it is incredibly easy for people to become reactionary to that. It is easy for people to say, see, the government can't do anything right. See, why do I have to pay more taxes? See, this is crazy. And I hear the frustration. I'm frustrated too. The difference is we need to be involved in where the money is getting spent. It isn't that government can't handle the job. It isn't that government shouldn't handle the job. This is not something that should be private. You know, like, we should not privatize everything and then we just all go to whichever version of the thing is. They have to keep their word. Like, the levies and bonds that we vote for are meant for things.
Right. That's why we voted
for them. That's why we vote for them.
Literally why we voted for them.
When it comes to the children's levy, there is a very pointed, stated goal. And they're not living up to that. And there's a lot of this, like, you know, I'm not even sure what to label it, but it's the, I know that I shouldn't feel or say the things, the whatever the ist thing is, you know, like, you know, oh, you'll get in trouble for that. Don't say that racist thing. Don't say that homophobic thing. But you don't know why you shouldn't do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's the folks that are like, I'm not racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. But then you are incredibly bigoted, or, you know, think racist things all the time. You just don't say it out loud.
Right.
Like, you know enough to not say it into a microphone, but you don't really know why you shouldn't say it into a microphone. I feel like that's our population is filled with that when it comes to any sort of understanding of a marginalized community.
Yeah.
So it's just this fluffy stuff. Like, well, we're going to ask you if you're a Black-led organization. No, well, we're not going to ask you that because we shouldn't ask that. But maybe we should ask that.
Right.
No, but we should do it blind. Now we're not going to ask that. So you just tell us who you serve. It absolutely matters who's being served and who's doing the serving.
Yeah. I definitely take that into account when I participate in grant review panels for organizations, arts organizations. And there's different boxes, you know, a lot of these organizations are checking off and saying we serve, you know, demographic target demos, you know, underprivileged, underserved communities, marginalized communities. And they're checking all the boxes.
Yeah.
And the first thing I do is go to their website. I go to their website. What does leadership look like? What does staff look like? What do your board members look like? What are the photos from your events look like? Oh, this looks like the exact opposite of what you say you do. I'd much rather you not say it. I'd much rather you not check that box and let me just grade you on the work that you're actually doing instead of pretending to do something in order to seek funding for organizations that are actually doing those things.
I mean, all of that.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that do we not understand that when you are performing these things and not actual, like you're just doing a performative measure on a grant or hiring Black and brown faces for your board just because they're that, not because they're
a value
to your organization. Yeah. Or that they are aligned in any way, like it's, or that they even have an equity agenda.
Yeah You're just doing more harm.
There's the assumption that, you know, well, if you're brown or you're Black, then yeah. Yeah, you probably want the same thing, right? Well, the vague rhymes with cake kept telling me Black people are too lazy to do anything around here.
Yep.
A lot of the brown people around here are too lazy. I don't think I want him on the board that's going to, you know, figure out who gets the funds.
Right.
There's a lot of brown people and Black people that are fully indoctrinated with white supremacy talking points and capitalistic talking points. That is going to be the way that they see things. You as an organization do not get to be like, this is our intended goal to help marginalized communities, Black and brown children, and then be like, I mean, we know that they'll struggle with, you know, these organizations that aren't culturally specific. We know they'll struggle, but you got to let them fly, right?
That was one of the more alarming things to come out of this whole conversation.
For real.
The fact that they said on the record, you know, in reviewing these applications, that the ones that we're going to move forward with, we understand that they're going to have some challenges serving the culturally specific, communities, which is the point of the levy. So you're already saying, just in that statement alone, you're saying, I understand what the assignment is, and it's okay for me that I give the assignment to someone who isn't qualified.
And that's okay with me. And you know,
what are you going to do?
There's going to be some challenges, but you know, we're going to move these dollars forward. What? If that is an okay place for you to land, you should not be in any part of the decision making. None. Because that is not the objective of this levy, to get it to organizations that cannot do what they're supposed to do.
I mean,
they're going to have challenges doing what they're supposed to do when there are organizations
that do it
amazingly. They're tapped in. They are part of the communities they serve.
It's wild for the night. It's honestly just so confusing that it is still happening.
Yeah.
So prevalent. Like, it's really, it's mind blowing.
Bottles the mind.
It. And we better hurry up and get to this Prosper story, because there's some bottling of the mind in there too.
Yeah.
I had a music break queued up. We don't have time.
Are you sure?
You want to just, okay. All right. Do that. Okay. All right. Jump into a music break.
Real quick one.
Listen, man, that the buttery vocals that are Michael McDonald.
Just.
Come on, man.
Harmony.
Oh.
And he was everywhere. He was in the back of everybody.
Every session. Fam was there.
Okay, jumping right in.
Right.
The drama.
Drama.
DJ Drama. That's what I'm calling Prosper Portland from now on. Prosper Portland leader to step down amid budget clash and political tensions. Prosper Portland interim executive director Shay Flat. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this last name because I don't know how.
Yeah, sorry. Flaherty Betton.
Thank you. Flaherty
Betton.
Or
boom.
Okay. I'm going to call him Shay from here on out.
Shay.
Will resign Friday following pressure to either step down or leave the city's economic development agency entirely. The move comes amid ongoing tensions over proposed budget cuts and political scrutiny of the agency's leadership and role. Shay confirmed the directive in a statement Wednesday, saying the directive has come from me to step aside from my role as interim executive director and return to a role focusing on economic development, or to step away from Prosper Portland completely. Ultimately, he and the agency's board agreed he would leave altogether, with his final day set for June 13th. According to city spokesperson Cody Bowman, Mayor Keith Wilson requested that Shay step aside as interim director, but remain at the agency in a lesser capacity. Prosper Board Chair Gustavo Cruz said he relayed the message, but emphasized he personally wanted Shay to stay. Quote, I didn't try to push him out at all, Cruz said. In fact, quite the opposite. Tensions flared last month when Shay openly opposed a proposal by councilors Jamie Dunphy and Mitch Green to slash $11 million from Prosper's upcoming budget. I don't love that framing. In a pointed email, he urged supporters to lobby against the amendment. A rare and direct challenge from an agency leader to sitting city council members. The amendment ultimately failed, but the political fallout appears to have contributed to Shay's departure. Lisa Aboff, also sorry if I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, Prosper's current interim deputy executive director. Well, that's not right.
She's stepping in.
Right. All currently, right. The director of development and investment is being nominated to step into as the interim. I just read it wrong. Mm. That's all I'm saying. To step into the interim leadership role pending the board approval. She's very well respected in the community, Cruz said. City officials added that a permanent executive director has accepted an offer and is expected to start later this summer. Oh, that's news to me. The leadership shakeup highlights growing friction between Prosper Portland and some of Portland's newly elected officials who have questioned the agency's semi-independent status and its management of city-funded economic development work. Unlike most bureaus, Prosper is overseen by a mayor-appointed board, prompting some council members to call for bringing the agency under direct council control.
Now, Morgan, I feel like that warmed things up. What happened yesterday? You said Wednesday was a wild, wild day. Wednesday was the Wednesday. It just wouldn't stop Wednesday.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday?
Well, yesterday was the announcement that Shay was stepping down.
Right.
Right? But in that story, I also learned that Willamette Week got their hands on a group chat.
The Hegseth of it all.
Fam, 105 employee strong group chat. I don't know if this is the Slack, if you, this is the MS Teams, if this is a Google Workspace. I know y'all wasn't doing this on cell phones with phone numbers, were you?
Lord have mercy.
Fam, they were over here having a watch party, basically, yeah, of the city council meetings, just hate watching and telling each other about it in, you know, in the chat. And I don't know which one of the employees was like, bruh, this wild. Maybe the news should know about it.
Right.
You know, I don't know who was like, ay, 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 that's the boss saying haters hate. I think more than anything, like I have worked for, you know, many organizations. And when you work with a small team, you often talk to each other outside of work,
yeah,
about work. You may commiserate, you know, all the things, but like, I also remember that there'd be like all staff emails.
Right.
And management staff emails.
Marketing
and,
team,
you know, emails. The marketing team and the development team and at an all staff meeting, you're not like talking to each other like you're all at happy hour and you can't believe that, you know, all weapons against you are prospering. Oh, ah, yeah, that's okay.
That was good.
That was extra.
That was fire. Fire, as the kids say.
I'm yeah. Like, this was one of the moments where you're like, yeah, see, so the top down.
Yeah.
If Mans is in there shouting, I'm here, I'm delirious, I'm running off of pure adrenaline right now. Haters gonna hate. We the best team in the city. Like,
we the best.
Fam. Mm-mm. You doing all of this? At 1 o'clock?
No.
You know?
I didn't mean to snort into the mic. That caught me off guard. Not at 1 o'clock.
Messing up 1 o'clock, fam.
You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM and in the Halen Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Nah, fam. This was not good, blood. No. You didn't have this patent. You did not.
No, they didn't. Listen, this was messy boots.
Yeah.
You out here being the messiest of boots. What is happening over there? Just the table is shaking,
yeah,
and it's shaking from the inside.
No, shout out to, you know, again, that employee, whoever was on that thread that was like, nah, this ain't it. We got
homie at Willamette. We got to know about this.
Yeah. We are, to that person, we too are homies. Send us, you know, reach out, definitely shoot us, you know, transcripts. If there are, you know, other screenshots you'd like to share with the News of My Fiance team, you know,
Send them on over. Hit the email.
News of My Fiance at Gmail. Hit the Instagram. Send them on over. We'd love to take a look. Because, wow.
We actually do have an email
for tips.
For tips.
Yes.
And that is NWMF, News with My Fiance, tips at Gmail.
Boom.
Send them.
NWMF tips at Gmail.
Yeah. Not, we're not asking you to give us money, not tips in that way. Tips as in story. Right.
Stories.
Juicy yes. tidbits.
Yes.
Hot goss.
Hot goss. Send the hot goss.
Send the hottest of the goss directly to our inbox, please.
We like our goss piping hot.
And all the drama is honestly coming from that entire situation. Like earlier, the reporting was without a statement, right? Like the statement came later. In the
right.
So earlier Wednesday when I read it, Fam was like, I am in the middle of things and hung up. And I could just imagine, like, I absolutely cannot wait for the day that I can do that. It's going to be like, you know, to my mom or something. Right. But it's, I am in the middle of stuff. Click. It will not have the same impact if it's not an actual phone I can slam down.
Right.
But I'm doing, I cannot wait for the day.
I'm doing very important stuff right now.
Do you have any idea how important I am? I am in the middle of stuff.
Click.
Done.
Oh, my God.
Done. Matt said, and this is a total left field, but to the point of your music break.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mean to go there, but sometimes I get taken aback when Ambush plays a white artist. I feel like he plays more white artists than anyone else.
Then he follows up with peace and love.
Yes, Matt, of course.
It's the way it's received.
Yeah, no, yeah. Only, of yeah. course. No, I feel like you play more white art. Like, you play a lot of yacht rock on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't play anywhere else.
Well, I don't know how true that is. But...
Well, I don't have the gigs anymore where I used to be able to get that in. That's yeah, I'm not in those spaces anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. it's a lot.
You are appreciated, Matt. Thank you for your analyses.
We also love it when Ambush does, in fact, ambush anyone with anything. So if he's taking you aback, I think that's working.
That is. That's part of the ambush.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Oh, man. We're at 9:06 already?
We are. Sorry, y'all. Guys. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of News My Fiance, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G. Residual Audio. Had the pleasure of rocking with Kyle all day Saturday. Event to event to event. Quite the gentleman. My twin there. Kyle, make sure all the texts are in the episode. I'm updating the playlist as we speak. And yeah, man. Don't let the individual distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. Power, power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you Monday night on the YouTubes from 6:30 to 8:30.
Live, raw, in person, raw live.
Hello.
Bye.